We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Okay.
You know, sometimes what happens in here is like taking a...
Yes, okay. Although I prefer to think of it more like childbirth.
Trust me. It's like taking a...
And now it's time for Dan Landers.
Send me your personal problems.
Ned, did you clip Ann Landers today?
Ann Landers is a boring old biddy.
Ned!
My advice to you, start drinking heavily.
Better listen to him, Flounder. He's in pre-med.
Free advice from our very own Dan McNeil.
You youngsters may not remember advice columnist Ann Landers.
I'm reading Ann Landers.
Ann Landers sucks.
She was doling out advice for years, making a lot of money doing it. So if she can do it, why not have a two-time rehab loser do it?
Great. So he's taking advice from a two-time loser.
There are no losers in recovery.
Dan Landers, a.k.a. Dear Mackey.
Dear Mackey, dear Mackey, I'm way too fat. I've lost my gumption. My love life is flat.
Sign me well.
Thanks for the advice.
Dan Landers on the McNeil and Parkins Show on 670 The Score.
All right, off we go. I appreciate everybody who got to me on Facebook, personal email, the message board, and Twitter for giving me tons of material. I've picked four or five of them, and I also picked a common theme for one. We'll hit everybody with that one. Here is the first one for this first edition as we resurrect Dan Landers. Dear Dan Landers, my anniversary is end of March. We're in the middle of a four-month pricey remodel of a master bed and bath, and we're visiting friends in Dallas the beginning of April for an Eric Church show, Hamilton, and two kick-ass dinners. Do I have to buy an anniversary gift, too? When does it end? Signed, Perplexed in Plainfield. Oh, that's a good dilemma. How much money do you need to keep spending anniversary stuff? What I would suggest to you, first of all, would be Perplexed that perhaps put the physical tickets to that concert in a card and get it to her before you ever go to O'Hare and go to Dallas to let her know that's part of the anniversary gift. He also noted he's already purchased a couple of very expensive bottles of wine for the trip. And I think flowers probably are a good idea to go with it. But with everything he's got going on, and he didn't specify if he's the sole earner in the household. But I think you got to play it smart and let her know, at least in some way, that the anniversary, you know, that trip is just a fraction of it. But it is the anniversary gift, except for a few other gestures.
Well, see, I would say also an anniversary, that's a mutual thing. That's as much his as it is hers. And so assuming that they're open with finances on some level, or hopefully completely transparent with finances, there can just be a conversation of like, money's a little tight with the remodel right now and the trip, so why don't we just do dinner or just do flowers, or we do no gift this year because the gift is the trip. A birthday, I feel like, is trickier because that's something just for her. An anniversary is mutual, so I see nothing wrong with having no gift for an anniversary if it's mutually agreed upon.
Chep, any thoughts on this?
Perplexed. Come on. You gotta take advantage of this and give out one of these as the Valentine's Day gift. Am I missing something here? Why can't he, or the anniversary gift? Like, why do you have to go and get something extra for the anniversary gift? Why can that not just simply be, hey, here's the Hamilton tickets. That's the anniversary gift. Or this part of the trip is the anniversary gift.
Right. We would go to the concert because we're doing that trip, but we're also seeing Hamilton. So that's we're doing the extra because of the anniversary. I like that.
Right. Like, just play it all into one thing, and she'll be so excited about the trip that, oh, okay, well, it was all planned out and it wasn't so technically about the anniversary. She wouldn't be mad about that. She'd be thrilled for the trip.
Shep sounds angry already.
Tanny,
you want to weigh in? I'm sorry.
In my house,
taking the bill for the remodel would just go right on the fridge. Happy anniversary. And then that would pretty much, you know, end that. I mean, I would love to know more context on how long they've been together. What anniversary is it? You know, but would it kill you to just do a little, you know, maybe book a massage for wherever you're going? Like, you know, on top of everything, here's just take a little time for yourself. Happy anniversary. I love you. I know we got all this other stuff, but here's just a little extra gesture. Would it kill you?
That's a good thought. I also would recommend, and he has time to do this, to check out a book that helped my marriage quite a bit. I reference it fairly regularly whenever we talk relationships, and that is The Five Love Languages. And try to determine, if you don't know already, perplexed, what your wife's love language is. Quickly, the theory of the marriage counselor is we all are dominated by one of five needs. We have all five of them and then some, but there is one thing that speaks to us more than the others. And if his wife's love language is gifts/acts of service, he's got to put a lot. And now, if it's not something that generally is usually too important to her, if physical touch is her love language, if words of encouragement is her love language, then maybe it's not going to be such a deal. But if that's something that is very important to her, then he needs to be particularly mindful of it. My opinion. The opinion of Dan Landers. Dear Dan Landers, I am on this one, I'm going to defer to the crew a little bit more because they are way more, you know, recently removed than I am to picking a college and having issues with parents about going to college. It happened for me many years ago, and they're not good memories, so I think these guys can help me with this. But here's how it goes. Dear Dan Landers, my wife and I are terrified by our son's behavior. Yes, it's alcohol and other substances. He's picking a college now, but he's indifferent most times, and I interpret it as a non-committal to even going to school. His grades have suffered, and he recently skipped a required aptitude test to go snowboarding with buddies. We're at a loss. Confused in Palos. You guys didn't have the issue of not knowing if you wanted to go to college or not. I don't suspect any of the three of you did, but I'm sure there were wrestles with parents on where you're going and if you were ready to go away, which I know Parkins did. Shep did a little bit. He was pretty close to home. Tanny was close to home. So fire away. Help confused in Palos.
I mean, my first lean is, right now, there is a huge national conversation happening about a bubble that may or may never burst with post-high school education. And my parents spent a lot of money on my education to go to the best broadcast school in the country because I was able to get in, I got good grades, and I knew exactly what I wanted to do. If you are going, spending money to send a kid away to a four-year college, maybe even a private school, and you're talking about that type of huge money, and they are somewhat indifferent to education, nah, man, not worth the money. Maybe make them earn their way to it. You can
semester locally, a year locally to keep an eye on.
You can transfer. Like, that happens all the time now. I would be very apprehensive about spending big money for college if my child was not motivated by education.
Yeah, it's a heck of a lot cheaper to pay for a couple of community college classes, see if the desire to show up to those is there. That way you're not out the thousands upon thousands for a semester at whatever school or university it might be. Like, my thought is, prove it to me. Prove to me how bad you want to do this, and don't be spending tens of thousands of dollars throwing it away for something that you're going to go to essentially a four-month party for and not take seriously.
Yeah, it's different because you need to know who's financing this, right? Is this all going to fall on the kid, the student loans, when it's all said and done? Because in that case, sometimes, you know, I know a lot of kids who fell on their ass the first year of college and they got their act together and it kind of drove them on the right path. Now, it's different if the parents are floating it, but at the end of the day, the brain is not even fully developed at that age. You know, obviously, the drugs and alcohol, I don't know what type of drugs, whatever, but the alcohol, it's not great, but we've all done certain things at that age, you know, whatever. So, you know, at the end of the day, just as long as the kid is committed to going to college, that's a step in the right direction. You know, so there's you got some middle ground there.
And there's something to be said for, you know, there's a middle ground between community college for some basic, you know, prereqs and a $60,000 a year private education. If your kid's good enough to get into a public school, a state school, you still want, you know, maybe that's the thing that'll jumpstart them and find their way into education. You got a music program, you got a radio station, you got a XYZ other thing that a big school like that will have that a community college won't, because part of what college is figuring out what you want to do and being exposed to other people in places like that. So I'm not saying necessarily only go the community college route, but I would just be hesitant to throw all of your resources into college at 18, because there's nothing that says you can't do it at 19 or 20.
Right. Some of this, I wonder if it's just, you know, clinging on to the last bit of life as, like, you know, a high school kid, and there's probably a lot of anxiety about the next step in life. So I'm sure there's a lot of that has to go with it too. So, you know, maybe just sit down and just be, have an honest talk, especially, you know, when it comes down to who's bankrolling the thing.
But are you, Danny, 14 years away from having this decision with your daughter?
Yeah, that's right.
You're the closest to it. Welcome back, my friend, to the job that never ends, parenting. I'd say this about the substance abuse, and to anybody who has a son or daughter, or a family member, a loved one, a spouse who's got issues. There's a group that I've seen it help a lot of families that's called Al-Anon. And like all of the other A's, N-A, A-A, G-A, it practices anonymity, and it's based on the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. It is not an attempt to cure whomever has the problem. Its design is to help you accept your powerlessness over somebody else's behavior. Often is the case, especially with parents, they want to fix it. If he's gonna put that rope around his neck, he's gonna do it with or without your endorsement. So sometimes letting them make their own mistakes is not a bad way to go, unless you feel it's critical. And then there are things like intervention. But Al-Anon is the name of a group that I know has been very, very helpful to a lot of people. Here's another one. Well, this I didn't write any of this down. I don't have it on my phone because I got at least five where the theme was coworkers or family members embarrassing themselves, embarrassing the companies for which they work, embarrassing family members by posts on Facebook or thoughts on Twitter. And if it is one of your employees, as it was with one, that is so on you to have that discussion. If this person has not taken, you start the paper trail now. You are not permitted to do things on this on social media that will put this company in harm's way from a public relations standpoint. It is not tolerated at any point, and this is your last warning because you've done it several times. If it's a coworker and you feel he's doing something that's going to injure your business, talk to the boss. Let the boss handle it. It's not yours.
Yeah, but then you're kind of snitching on the coworker, and it depends on what the job is, because there's lots of places that don't worry at all about that sort of thing. Because there's an understanding that you can have a political thought on any side of the aisle, as long as it's not discriminatory or defamatory on Facebook or something like that, and it's your personal Facebook page. It doesn't necessarily reflect on your employer. Now, some employers go the exact opposite. So I think that that's a case-by-case basis, honestly. And you got to be in a real tight circle to have that conversation. I'd have that conversation with my wife, siblings, parents, best friends. But I don't know that I'd go too far outside of that circle to comment on how people decide to carry themselves like that.
Yeah, you have to be a close friend. You have to be – it's hard for me to say that I'm going to jump in and just tell, like, Chris to my right. I would – okay, not that he's ever going to tweet anything or put anything on Facebook that's ridiculous. But if he did, I'm close enough to him to be able to go to him and be like, dude, the hell are you doing? That's one of maybe three people at this station. I've been here for 13 years now. Like, I don't know. I don't feel like that's my time or place to jump in and save someone.
Just joining us, we're doing Dan Landers, Resurrecting Radio's advice columnist from many, many years ago. We got to fly here real fast because we've only got a few minutes left. I'll try to make this one quickly because I want to get in one more afterward. Dear Dan Landers, car shopping time for my wife. She's a great lady, works part-time at home, and is a devoted mother of two. But she wants more car than she needs, especially as little as she drives. I can't justify a Mercedes or a BMW SUV as little as she uses. uses her vehicle. What does Dan Landers suggest? And he signs it, Keeping Up with the Joneses in Schaumburg. Soccer mom syndrome personified. Let me tell you something about that Mercedes ML350, kids. It's a fantastic vehicle. I bought one in 2010, and it's the exact same vehicle I bought at Ford 4 years later, only it was $20,000 less with more bells and whistles. There's other ones. The Jeep Grand Cherokee is an awesome SUV. There's nothing you can't get in that you can get in a Mercedes. If it's so important to her to have that logo on the hood, then get her a used one. That'd be my best recommendation. Dan Landers has worn many hats, and I support the Blue Oval. Go check out the Loaded Edge.
Yeah, you've got to get a used car in that situation. If you're not driving a lot, spending an insane amount of money on a car is only something that the super rich should do.
Or lease. Leasing is perfect for his situation. Most times, there's no money down required, and if it's low miles and you commit to the minimum number of miles they afford you on a lease, the payment is a fraction of what you would have as a car payment.
I've always thought that spending big money on a car, unless you are from, a loaded situation, like, spending big money on a car to me just is such a waste of money. Why? So people see you drive down the highway and, oh my God, look at them. Like, of all the things, and especially since we bought a house and you realize how fast, oh, this needs fixed. There's a couple $100. There goes another couple bucks. It's like, it's one of those things that you can get a very quality automobile. I don't know, have trouble siding with going even get the name brand used car. Have that conversation and say, money's more importantly spent here, and this is what we got to do.
I always say, happy wife, happy life, right? Usually I subscribe to that. But what I always also said was, the second you drive that car off the lot, it's going to depreciate in value. I mean, you guys know me for a long time. I always say that.
I always say that.
Danny's a former car salesman, too.
That's right. I wouldn't call myself a salesman.
Couple hours.
You have to actually sell one to be a salesman. but Max's idea on the lease is good. But at the end of the day, it's like, how old are we? 12? You care? Like, you think people are talking about what kind of car you drive? At least, you know, in my circles, I never, ever heard one of my friends say, oh, get a load of that car they're driving. You know what I mean? It's just, it's ridiculous. Like, anything new it still feels new and awesome, no matter what brand. Besides, you ever try getting the parts for one of those European cars?
Yes, that's another thing. The electrical system on that German thing went out in 3 years, and it wasn't covered.
The first time
it cost me $1,400 to get my nav and radio back.
That's coming out of your end, honey, not mine.
The first time I had heated seats, I was like, I may as well be driving a spaceship. Yeah. Well, it doesn't get any nicer than a car with heated seats.
Yes, it does. One that has heated and air conditioned. Wait till you chill your biscuits after you get off the golf course on a hot day. There's nothing better.
I've never had it. Seems lovely.
I have heated sidewalks that go to my car.
Oh, wow.
Last up, dear Dan Landers, getting married in July, and a friend said he heard you suggesting everyone should get a prenup regardless of income and wealth and fear of being fleeced. He couldn't remember your reasons. What should I know? Soon to be married in Muskegon, Michigan. All right, soon to be. I'm glad you checked in because I do have some thoughts on you. That's the number one misconception about what a prenup is, and that's marriage. And it sucks to do a prenup. There is nothing you will do in your life that is less romantic than prepping a prenuptial agreement. You're both convinced you're going to spend the rest of your lives together until death do you part. You're excited, mooning all over each other over making wedding plans. But the reality is, statistically, you are not set up for success. More than 60%, or I think right around 60% of first marriages have a failure rate in this country, and second marriages have even more. And here's some things that need to be considered. If you're going to have children, parenting time. The state will recommend visitation. That's a disgusting word. Visiting hours apply to patients in hospitals, to prison inmates. The visitation system of weekends with dad is so damn dated and ineffective, it isn't funny. Teenage boys don't want to spend two straight days with their dad. My ex and I were very much on the same page with this when we went our own ways. Several times during the week and every other weekend, it's either Friday or Saturday, and let them live their lives the other day they have on a weekend. You're going to need to consider custody when one of you, if down the road, wants to relocate and you're divorced. How about faith? Is the manner in which your child raised important to you? There's pets. An attorney I spoke with 10 years ago told me she has done at least 3 prenups where there is more language devoted to what to do with the pets after dissolution versus what to do with the children. That's how fond people are of their pets in this country. There are a ton of other things that you need to consider, and very, very few of them are related to the money. The money's a part of it. Yeah, that can be potentially ugly, but whether you plan to ever make money, none of you, there's so much else that needs to be taken into consideration when you get married, and while it's an ugly procedure, it will protect both of you. And there is nothing a judge won't put in a prenup, won't allow in a prenup, as long as both parties agree to it. There's some really crazy stuff that goes into a prenup. There's crazy stuff that goes into dissolution agreements. But you know what? You'd rather have it than not have it. All right, that's Dan Landers.
Well done. None of us have prenups. Do you guys have prenups?
No, didn't even discuss it.
Neither did I. Never even thought about it.
But I will say, like, I always thought the concept was a little crazy for the average person, but when you put it in the context of your children, like, that's something you don't think about often. So I think that's actually pretty helpful advice. For those
That's what I'm saying. The thought had never even entered my headspace. Had never once.
You immediately think finance when you hear a prenup.
100%. You know? I'm like,
that's what everyone thinks.
We both work, you know, self-sufficient. That won't be a problem.
Yeah.
And then, okay. Well.
Who gets Omar?
She does.
She does.
Yeah. Okay. Dog needs walk, Matt. Come on.
If this resonates with you, talk to an attorney about a postnup. You still can have contractual things done to protect both parties.
Talk about romance. This hour on The Score brought to you by Menards. Save big money at Menards. The segment brought to you by Fogo de Chão Brazilian Steakhouse. Bone-in cowboy ribeye is back at Fogo de Chão Brazilian Steakhouse in Chicago. Taste the richer flavor of our bone-in cuts from ribeye to beef ribs, all fire roasted and carved tableside. Reserve now in Chicago, Rosemont, and Naperville at Fogo.com. Eric Winston's the president of the NFL Players Association. That's the Players Union. He'll join us at 5 o'clock. It's Mac and Parkins on The Score. Bottom of the hour on The Score, brought to you by Northwestern Basketball. Don't miss Coach Collins and the cast at the new Welsh Ryan Arena this season for matchups with Minnesota and Ohio State. Purchase tickets now at NUSports.com. Texters loved Dan Landers. Only thing that people were remarking was nothing like a good post-nuptial agreement conversation on Valentine's Day.
Oh, it's perfect. Right after you give her the roses and a big smooch. Yeah. Hey, let's talk about a post-nup, sweetheart.
That'll get him in the mood, but yeah. There it is. Dan Landers. When's the last time you did it? When's the last time you put on that hat?
It's 95-ish.
That's a while.
Right around there, yeah. Hey,
you've gotten some wisdom since 1995.
Well, you know, who better than a guy who's been in treatment a few times for substance? Because you learn from your mistakes as much as your successes.
You know, age, wisdom, therapy.
Well, yeah. Don't live like I do. Just live like I say you should do.
That's a good idea. That's a good thing to follow. So, yeah, we'll do it again next Thursday at 3.
I expected this. There's pushback on leasing vehicles. Look, it's not for everybody. But if you don't want to take a lot of money out of your pocket out of the chute, it's very convenient, especially if you're low mileage and if you're bored with it in 2 or 3 years, you're done.
Yeah, it can be expensive in the city. I know it's kind of disincentivized with some of the taxes. I looked into it.
Did you?
Yeah.
You're a low mileage guy, so a lease would make sense for you.
And I had leased my last car, but now I'm kind of in between cars and trying to figure something out. But
yeah. I'm in a lease right now, and I screwed up getting in a lease. I didn't think I was going to be doing this again. I thought I was done with radio and it was done with me. So I leased a vehicle for $15,000 a year in November of 17. I've got 33,000 miles on it already.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Year two is just underway by a couple of months.
Yeah. So you're okay. Yeah. You're behind.
So what I got to do is, to avoid getting creamed for overages when I return it, I buy it outright and I'm not dinged.
So you're not upside down in the car.
I'm not upside down. I make one payment and move it along and get something new. So that's what I have to look forward to in the fall of 2019.
Well, yeah. There are worse cars for you. I mean, you'll own a...
Oh, I love the truck.
Yeah, so that's great.
Yeah, and the new ones don't have CD players. And while I listen to most of my stuff on hard drive or Sirius XM or FM or AM, I still want a CD player. I still want one.
But they don't make them that way.
Did you go upstairs to the WXRT binge?
I forgot after the show yesterday. Bernsey reminded me of it. Lynn Bramer was cool enough to pop down and say, hey, come get some CDs, and I totally forgot. I don't know if they're still there, but we're done at 5:30. We're a little bit out early tonight.
Yes.
Because we have Illinois basketball, the Illini and Ohio State, at 5:30 tonight here on The Score.
That is true. That is true. Illini basketball.
Illinois Buckets. Yeah. Yeah. So this is a good day for the half hour early exit.
Are you okay over there? You're like making a lot of sounds.
Bet you they line up to hear this one.
Yeah, they're going to. Pants. Joey Pants. You better believe they're going to line up to hear it.
A lot of noises going on from you over there.
Yeah. My stomach's rumbly. My, you know, I've got the Sheps. I've already been to the restroom.
What a legacy for Shep, by the way.
That's right. Man, glad I didn't have any of those issues when I did my little run down Michigan Avenue.
Would have been a bad outfit for it.
Jimmy Connor. A tennis player,
yeah,
very accomplished tennis player, in one of the most grueling U.S. Open championships, certainly one that mattered in my lifetime, early 80s. I think it was 82 at Flushing, when it was hot in New York, and he had diarrhea, and he took his maximum number of timeouts, and he was wearing white tennis shorts that day.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Skids.
Yeah. The broadcasters couldn't help but acknowledge the possibility of something really unfortunate happening. They were funny talking about it. Yeah. Bud Collins, who was a great guy who did tennis on NBC, was freaking hysterical that day.
Man, that's a tough spot to be in.
Twice a year for that.
And Connors was a grunter when he served, too.
Of course.
Yeah.
So that could lead to a mistake, a little accident. When do you withdraw? Right? At some point, you're just like,
really.
I'll be back next year.
Oh, man, you don't withdraw from that. They didn't have the pop-up tents in the early 80s, but they find a way to huddle around him and let him clean himself up.
Okay.
Roberto Duran did it in the famous No Mas, No Mas fight. That's where that expression comes from. He had too many steaks. He was nervous the night before his fight.
Too many steaks the night before a fight?
He went on an eating binge the night before his fight. And his team had to huddle around him in his corner in one of the early rounds during a break so he could go in a bucket. He was still letting go of steak.
Oh.
He squatted over the bucket. Yeah. No mas, no mas.
Cut me, Mick. Oh, God.
Yeah. I'm good. I don't want to be getting punched in the face when I'm dropping mud.
Glad I know there's the story from, I think his name was Bad News Brown, the wrestler. He used to tell the story of wrestling Andre the Giant when Andre the Giant was sick with some kind of issue, he was drinking heavily all through his professional wrestling career.
All through his life.
Combined all of that together, and it all happened to him during a match while he was wrestling Andre the Giant.
Oh, goodness.
That's terrifying.
Oh, this is making me feel so much better.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Yeah. Forget the do-si-dos I got from Annie Zawoski. Let me have some fudge mint.
I was going to enjoy the chocolates today on Valentine's Day.
No doubt.
This is the show that's putting you in the mood.
As Doug would say, the green apple quick steps. Doug Buffone. Love that expression.
Let's take a call real quick to circle back. Bill in the South Shore, you're on The Score. What up, Bill?
Hey, I didn't know that about the Moss fight. Very interesting. Couple quick points.
That's
guys.
Really interesting.
Pat Hughes, man. Anyways,
Pat Hughes.
You're on point. About the Bulls, Otto Porter Jr. I like what he's going to be able to do. He looks smooth. I don't want to see him smooth for the rest of this season. I'm having a hard time seeing them win games at this point. But I also wanted to say something about the Cubs, right quick. I know that Danny, you've been remarking about a lot of them emails and things, and frankly, I'm not a Cubs fan for many reasons, including this TV deal. I don't like that. But in terms of those emails, I mean, I don't really – I went through them all. And, I mean, as someone who's looked at things theologically, in my opinion, I mean, every religion just has different levels of tolerances. People who follow the Old Testament aren't going to have the same ideas as a Buddhist. If you could just let me finish, I'll be quick.
Okay.
And, and in terms of certain sects of Islam, in terms of people who follow it very strenuously, just like people who follow the Old Testament, There's just different levels of tolerances, and I didn't find anything that extreme in those emails. Although I do understand why people will disagree, but I didn't really see like the outright hatred that was unreasonable in my mind. But like I said, everyone's entitled to their own opinion, including yourself and myself.
Okay, yeah. Listen, thanks for the call, Bill. That is true. I wouldn't want to be on the side of defending the context of outright racism and Islamophobia. You can say that there are reasonable people can disagree and people have differing opinions on organized religion and all that sort of thing. Yeah, sure. There is levels of debate and nuance in terms of religion. Those emails, that was not a nuanced conversation of the inner workings of organized religion. What Joe Ricketts was getting sent to him and forwarding along and commenting on and laughing at was hate speech. It was not a nuanced conversation around religion.
That's right.
So, you know, that's not the hill that I would personally choose to die on. Speaking of Cubs TV, there were some great guests on the station today that I think addressed a central question of what could be a huge problem for Cubs fans 1 year from now. We'll play you some of the experts coming up briefly on The Score. Mac and Parkins on The Score. Cubs TV is official. That is a fun music bag.
I like it too.
Makes you want to swinging around. You're dancing, feeling good, helping people. People helping people. Powerful stuff. Dan Landers over here. So everyone's asking all the same questions about the Marquee Sports Network, which the shorthand will be Cubs TV. There'll be more than Cubs TV on it, but that's for all intents and purposes, that's what it is. My feeling on it, in a macro sense, is this is good for the Cubs, because it's going to make them money. This is good for the media because it's going to create jobs and competition. And ultimately, it's going to be good for the Chicago sports fan, most specifically the Cubs sports fan, because if the Cubs have more money, they'll be able to spend it on more players. And if you're a fan of local sports, there will be more local sports content.
Yeah, the ante has been upped for local sports content. Now NBC Chicago has a competitor.
But admittedly, that third step, the fans, it's going to be better for the Cubs sooner than it is for the fans, and it's going to be better for media sooner than it is for the fans, because 1 year from now, when they're getting ready to play the 2020 baseball season, there could be 1, 2, 3, 4 television providers that haven't added and started to carry the Marquee Sports Network yet. That is possible.
Danny, I can promise you this. In 12 months' time, maybe 13 months' time, right around the time the 2020 baseball season is starting, there are going to be a lot of pissed off people in this town because either their cable provider has made the unilateral decision not to have it as part of a tier, or they just, you know, they don't want to pay for it, even though they've already been paying for it.
So Eric Fisher from the Sports Business Journal was on with Dan and Connor. And if you think, we're the third biggest city, Cubs fans are passionate, there's no way that'll happen here, listen to some historical context.
Well, the first thing is to get it themselves broadly distributed. If you look at a lot of the other baseball-led, team-led RSNs in recent time, going all the way back to the YES Network in 2002, but much more recently, Sportsnet LA and with the Dodgers, the former CSN Houston with the Astros, they all had some real distribution carriage issues coming out of the gate, that they had a big number that they were asking for. There were a number of providers that were balking and were not going to take on this channel. And it's going to be a real interesting thing to see as to whether the Cubs and Sinclair can get around this and have a situation where they're ostensibly fully distributed in the Chicago area, if not some of these other outer areas that we've discussed, at launch time. And we just don't know yet. And those negotiations are going to happen over the next year. But it's going to be the first thing is that they've got to get themselves fully distributed. And then they can start really working on some of these other emerging areas.
So Houston and LA, recent launches of team networks in huge media markets that at launch had nowhere near full distribution in the market.
Yeah, expect more of that.
And that's
history of this stuff.
Exactly. And it keeps changing. Like that's why like the Cubs are a little late to the party here, but they were locked into a contract with NBC Sports Chicago. And so I know this is a little bit of inside baseball and not everybody cares about the story from a media standpoint, but trust me, you're going to care if your chosen television provider doesn't have the Cubs. And I get this text here, and I was getting into it with someone on Twitter earlier today, not getting into it like in a fight, but just going back and forth. And they said, this guy says, Dan, I will never pay a dime to watch Cubs baseball ever. If the games are on free TV, if the games are not on free TV, they just lost a fan.
Just addressed it. You're already paying for it unless it's on ABC7 and you have the rabbit ears.
Correct.
You're paying for it already. Your NBC Sports Chicago is part of your sports tier. It's not expensive, nor will this be expensive.
I don't think it'll be expensive either. It's just, it'll be $5, $6. I'd be shocked if it was $7 a month. Maybe it'll be $4. It'll be somewhere in that range extra for your cable bill. But there's just going to be some providers. Let's just use Dish Network for an example, just random one. Maybe Dish will be like, no. People are already cutting the cord. They're already going away from satellite TV. They're already going to Hulu, Amazon, or whatever. They're like, okay, we are a national satellite TV provider, so why are we going to up the bill by putting $4 a month on there to make the Cubs fans in Chicago happy?
Why do it? Because of the fear of losing subscribers, because they're going to go somewhere else to get their Cubs games. They may say initially, I won't pay for it, or I don't care anymore. I don't support this. This is not the society I want to live in. Well, you'll probably change your mind. You get to the middle of the May and the Cubs are 10 games above the 500 mark, and you say, what was I wishing for?
But I don't know the answer to this, but what's the bigger number? Cubs fans who would cancel Dish Network to sign on with DirecTV, or Dish Network subscribers who are not Cubs fans who would be mad that their cable bill goes, or their satellite bill goes up, and then they end up cutting the cord? There's a big number of people on both sides, I would imagine, and it might cancel each other out.
Dan Landers is over, but I would suggest if you have a strong opinion on it, you have communication with your provider, cable, satellite, wherever you get your feeds.
Oh.
Yeah, stuff the suggestion box.
Well, get ready for that. That is going to be that's happened in other markets too. There will be commercials on TV. There will be both from the Cubs, I assume, but certainly if any of these cable providers choose not to carry the marquee sports network, they will be trying to get messaging out there that says there's too much money happening. Like there will be a public relations battle that will play out over the case here. It's I hope it's easy. I hope that I'm totally wrong and that 1 year from now, every cable television provider in Chicago has the marquee sports network. That would be great for the business of the Cubs and Cubs fans. I will be very surprised.
I'll be surprised also, but I think it's, you know, galactically stupid to expect your subscribers to be okay with not getting Cubs games, despite what they may protest initially.
Yep.
Because that when they decide to go, they may be the ones writing you the most letters. But when they make that decision to go because you don't have them and they choose another vehicle to get their television, they're not coming back.
Right.
They're going where they can watch the games they didn't think they'd miss as much as they do.
What's funny is that this conversation feels like it should have been happening in 2013, like pre the explosion of Netflix, Hulu, Amazon, but they were just locked into NBC Sports Chicago, because now the conversation is, how do I stream the games? I've already cut the cord. Can I live stream it on Reddit, on my MLB TV app? Where can I illegally stream the game? Can I get a Fire Stick? All those sorts of things. So they're going to make it compatible for streaming. Like there absolutely will be a marquee sports network app at some point. It'll be a subscription. You'll have to have a login, just like you have to do now with Xfinity or whatever the case may be.
Yeah, it's up to you. If you want to, if you think the product is good enough for you to take with you wherever you go, pay it.
Correct.
It's there for you.
Yeah. And by the way, if you are a true superstation Cubs fan, like I know, the Cubs are the Cubs because they were on WGN for all of those decades, and that's what made it a worldwide fan base. And I hate that it's now on Sunday Night Baseball and Fox Sports 1 and NBC Sports Chicago, then listen to the score.
Yeah, keep it here.
That, you know what I mean? Like, honestly, like that. But that's where you're at. There's no reasonable expectation that the Cubs should be playing a game that they played in the 80s when we're in 2019. It's just a totally different media landscape. You want them to be playing this
game. Yeah, I am very excited about this for people in the industry and for viewers who I think have been given the short end by NBC Sportsnet. We referenced it a few times yesterday, how they've got so many shows that such a ridiculously small percentage of the audience will ever, you're signing up for zero ratings with coaches' shows and volleyball games from around the Midwest. Nobody's going to watch that. Almost nobody will watch that, and they seem to be okay with it all these years.
It's going to be a fascinating thing to see how much they program, and I'm sure there will be plenty of programs that air on the Marquee Sports Network that pull zero ratings. Just because they need to fill airtime, and you don't go from, I mean, Fox Sports 1 had Fox Sports behind it, and for a while they had two shows. It takes a long time. It took ESPN 40 years to build it into what it is today with ESPN 1, 2, ESPNU, ESPN News, and all that sort of thing. It takes a while to build a 24/7, 365 network.
Sure. It would be stupid not to have live local programming in mornings before people leave for work or school. It would be stupid not to have something in afternoons that is live and local. You got to do it.
I agree.
The market is ripe to be plucked. It's right there for them if they seize the opportunity.
I obviously agree completely. And you have the most valuable sports property in town by far. It's not even close. You have 162 games of inventory with the biggest fan base with the best team. You say, oh, everybody's a Bears fan. Not everyone's a Cubs fan. Yeah, they only play 16 games. And those are all national
deals. Those are
deals.
National games. Yeah, that's done with Fox or NBC or CBS.
So by far the most valuable sports property is the Chicago Cubs.
That's correct.
Which is why this network believes that they can succeed on their own with the Bulls, Hawks, and White Sox being with NBC Sports Chicago. One of the best NFL writers in the game outlined how Ryan Pace should approach the offseason. Want to see if we agree? And the president of the Players Union joins the show at 5 o'clock on The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.